Well, Jay, you know better than anybody else how good it is to be here at Pleasant Grove. So I'm glad to get to be here today, but sorry for the reason why. But grateful for the opportunity to be amongst such good folks again. At the earlier two services, I was told there'd been Jay sightings. They'd even seen you driving a car. I did tell them sometimes when I hear our clergy sisters and brothers are driving, I get frightened, but not with you. I'm just grateful you're here, as is everybody today. God bless you. And friends, it is wonderful to be back at Pleasant Grove, accepting the reason why. Thank you for the occasion and the good grace you've shown me all morning long. This day is Transfiguration Sunday. We stand at that liminal time between celebrating the light of God shining in the world through Jesus Christ, and when that light in Christ Jesus, in the words of Scripture, as Jesus said, set his face to go to Jerusalem. And before we devote ourselves to what it is that our own mortality and our own brokenness confront us with, we have a last time to think about how it is we hear from God and what we hear of God and what we know of God. And so in this lesson from Scripture, from Matthew's Gospel, we hear his version of how Jesus was transfigured and others with him. The lesson begins with the phrase, 6 days later, that references the fact that 6 days before this transfiguring moment, Jesus explained to the disciples the coming reality of his cross and the necessity for self-denial as part of the discipline of the spiritual life. But then the people of Jesus had this joy, a joy into which the Lord Jesus invites us. Hear the word of God. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make 3 dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While Peter was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when the disciples looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. This is going to be a participatory sort of sermon in a couple of ways. And so I'm going to come closer to you. Don't be scared. All you're going to have to do is raise your hand a couple of times, I suspect. So I want to tell you about what I've been doing the last 50 days. We've been blessed to have a new bishop here among us for 50 days. Her name is Connie Shelton. And one of the many reasons I've come to dearly love Bishop Shelton is that she goes to her people. And so for the last 50 days, I've been going with her around Eastern North Carolina to meet with lay folks and clergy folks in the different districts or areas of Eastern North Carolina that make up the United Methodist Church. A free ad, y'all's time is this coming Thursday night, 7 o'clock at Garner Church. But before that, clergy who are not in physical therapy are gonna gather together in a series of meetings. There's a big meeting for all the pastors, but it's bracketed by some subgroups. Before the big meeting, there's a group of young adult clergy that meet. That means clergy 35 and younger. They need some special attention right now. Can you imagine being ordained and getting to go straight into the pandemic, and being ordained in the pandemic followed by our church's discussions and debates lately? So young adult clergy get a special moment. And then after the big meeting is over, what we call ethnic minority clergy, that is African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Native Americans, Asian Americans, multiracial clergy, who sometimes have a unique set of concerns, also gather with the bishop. And to frame those discussions, they're all invited to tell their story of transfiguration, the story of their call. Now, the truth is that the clergy don't always share together how they've met God any more than you talk to your best friends about who you've met God to. Jay and I have actually one time, you may not remember, have had a discussion about our respective vocations or calls to ordain ministry, but that doesn't happen amongst all clergy. So I've gotten to be present when 107 different pastors in the last 50 days have told their stories. But we are preachers, and so my chief job with the bishop is to time everybody. Everybody gets about 3 minutes. If you can imagine telling some preachers it's over in 3 minutes, it is an interesting time. The bishop has twice told me to turn the ringer up on my phone. I've told her it's as loud as it will go. So some of my job is to say, bring it home. And one time she finally had to lean forward to say, brother, thank you, so we could move on to somebody else. But in those stories, I've heard some fascinating witnesses to how God speaks to us. But it's not just clergy. Remember, the gospel is about the fact that God speaks to all of us. And God wants to encounter all of us. So as Greg and Jay and I may have had vocational calls, you have a call to hear from God as well. So that's what we're going to talk about in a minute. I'm going to describe the sorts of calls I've heard different clergy experience themselves, and then ask you if you've had it or know someone who has. And if you have, you have to raise your hand. Well, the first sorts of calls I've heard told and described are the sorts of direct calls that I think almost everybody suspects clergy have had, though not all have, and that is that they have actually heard the voice of God or have had some sort of signal sign that this is God speaking to them that they ought to go do something. So have you ever had someone say to you, or have you yourself ever had an occasion when someone said, yes, I heard God speak, or I know someone who would say God spoke to them? Raise your hand. That's what I said. Yeah, some of us, pretty typical. And then there have been calls by people there. Talk about the fact that it wasn't so much they heard God call them, but other people heard God call them. They were asked to do the children's sermon, or they preached, or they suddenly were leading a church group and someone said, you ought to be a pastor, and the church confirmed it. And they heard through other people the voice of God, an experience of God. So has anyone here ever heard somebody do something and you thought that was God, or have you yourself ever had somebody else say, God was working in you, working through you then? Anyone had that experience? I have, yep. See, this is not hard. I'm not going to ask you to talk about your own selves. Then there were also those people who were surprised by their call. There were some people who said, you know, I was doing this. One guy said, when I was tending bar, all of a sudden this happened and I had this experience. Very surprised by call, completely out of the blue. Anybody like that? Yeah, a few. And then there were those folks who've talked about the fact they've always known. One woman talked about preaching to her dolls. A few weeks later, I heard from a guy who said he preached to his sixth grade football team, if you can imagine. And they've always known. Those would be people like my mother, now gone to God, but who seems to always have had a sense of God and for whom faith was natural. And relatively, I always think, sort of easy. Anybody know somebody like that, or is that you? You've just sort of always known about God, trusted God, believed in God? Yeah, cool. And then there were people like my father, have a hunk of me in him. My father could have come from the state of Missouri, though he was a native North Carolinian. The Missouri state motto is show me. It is the show me state. And so my dad always argued with God and argued about whether or not there was a God, though we were in church every Sunday. Can you imagine the mother who always knew there was God and trusted God, and the dad who always doubted God? My dad quarreled with every pastor. My mother liked every pastor. It was a fascinating time on the way home from church. And there were a lot of folks amongst the clergy, if we are honest, who struggle with God and who have doubted God. And even at times would tell you they feel an absence of God and yet feel oddly called to the work of God. Surely there are people who would have to say, if they're truthful, that they know someone or they themselves have sometimes doubted God, sometimes wondered about God, and sometimes wondered why doesn't God show up in a bigger, fancier way. That would be me. And yeah, I think if we're honest, that's where we go. the point is not all these different clergy, because I can identify with almost every one of those stories. I've heard God speak, and I've known the absence of God. That's very biblical. Moses was on the mountaintop 6 days before anything major happened, and he has to hang out another 33 before anything big happens again. It's not an everyday sort of God speaks to me experience, right? It's an occasional event if it happens at all. And then Moses had to make sense of it. So, called, vocation by God, confronted by God. And there were a lot of people who said that while they had a sense of God in their 107 testimonies, how often they were frustrated by God and doubted God and did not like God or the sense of what God wanted them to do. Anybody? Yeah. For me, it was a guy with a guy named Chad in a bar in Chapel Hill who said, "You would be a great priest." He was a lapsed Catholic. And I said, "I don't want to be a priest." And he said, "Well, you'd be a great priest." He and I lived together in the same house, and he and I had hung out a lot. He knew me maybe too well. And so that was a moment of confrontation with Gray, who had very different plans, Mr. Biology major, about what I was going to go do and be with my life, dealing with a sense of God. And not a lot of firm answers, but an invitation into a relationship with him, which is what transfiguration is all about. The point of the transfiguration is to remind us that we all hear from God. Even sometimes we hear from him when God is silent. And we long for God to be there. And my longings for God at times, I have discovered to my horror, generally what I need to be doing until God shows up, which have been some of my most uncomfortable moments ever as a Christian, because I've not always liked what God wanted me to go do. But that was God. It's pretty biblical. If you look at the story of the Transfiguration, first, Peter, James, and John, particularly Peter, is very selfish about it. He just wants a party for God and him. He offers to build 3 booths, right? Jesus, Elijah, Moses, and he'll just stay there and hang out with the holy guys to keep it sweet. Well, God won't have anything to do with that. And then, of course, meeting Jesus and transfigured by God, the people who are being transfigured are frightened. They turn their face away. They try to deny what they've known. All Chad did when I was 20 was remind me of what I had first realized at 15 and spent 5 years running very hard to get away from. And then there was not just the fear and the "I want to turn away," but the anger that comes with fear. I do not want to have to do that. I do not want to be the awkward person who says, "No, I can't speak about another human being that way," or "No, I will not do that," or "No, I must do that," which is part of being transfigured, which does not feel very holy, at least in my experience. It just feels pretty cruddy and fairly embarrassing. And then there, of course, is the moment when Jesus says, "You're going to have to figure this one out." Notice that no place in the Transfiguration do Peter, James, and John ever get it. They want to control it. They're frightened by it. They turn away from it. And Jesus makes matters worse, because as they're going down the mountain from this marvelous moment with Jesus, he says, "Well, don't talk about this anymore, because number one, you don't get it right. And number two, not only do you not get it right, but you're going to screw it up for other people. So just wait a while. Wait till after the resurrection, and when you are together in the body of believers in an upper room, you will have an experience and you will be able to say, 'I've seen the Lord.'" So how do we have clarity about what God is telling us? It's not by ourselves up remotely removed on the mountaintop. It's in this body called the church. So how do you meet God? Well, friends, that is going to be up to God. Some of you have already met God in a distinct voice, some of you in a distinct experience, some of you have met him in absence, some of you have never met him, you don't think, face to face or person to person, but you have met him in others, and others of you are experiencing God in the embrace of this community, even though you may very well doubt God. But those are all your transfiguring moments, when God is asking you to let your hearts and minds be open to Him. We meet Him at the table. We meet Him when we sing songs, and you find in your heart and in your mind the voice of trust that what I just sang is true. And you meet Him when you most search for Him and you most doubt Him, because you feel this longing in your heart that Peter and James and John did to stay there. Like, this could only be true. And as you meet Him, you will discover a great joy, I've learned, that you're going to be transfigured and changed. Sometimes in ways you will like, sometimes in ways that will probably intimidate you, sometimes in ways that may be awkward, but always in ways that will be holy, and always in ways that will be good, even in ways that are challenging, because God will ask you to grow to become the full man or full woman that God intends you to be, created in His image. And then you will know you have been on your own mountain, and you've been with Moses and James and Peter and John, and that you have been with Jesus, and you will be changed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.